Welcome to the Missourinet Press Pass. I am Darren Jobe with Steve Walsh and Brent Martin. Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for your time.
Hello, Darren. Good to see you.
Steve, tell me everything you know about midwifery.
just say the word. It's just interesting to say midwifery.
Really? I mean,
I know nothing about it.
We don't really get a whole lot of opportunities to use that word. And when you get the opportunity to use the word midwifery,
we should just pound
it's
the
a great
heck
word
out
to
it.
Use.
It is a dead horse ready to be kicked right now.
Now, is this the time when I just leave for a while? Because
yeah.
I'm not going to be
come back in 5 minutes.
I'm not going to be crucial to the operation here.
Well, it's like this. The state Supreme Court heard arguments this week.
I forgot to give you a 45-second time limit. Tell me everything you know about midwifery.
Oh boy,
in
45
seconds.
Oh my goodness. Let me give you the Reader's Digest condensed version. It goes
Absolutely.
Like this. Supreme Court expected to rule in a few weeks. Okay. We have a thing in Missouri called a Hammerschmidt rule. And what that means basically it's a requirement. It's in the state constitution that any provision of any bill must relate to the original purpose and original title of the bill. Basically, we don't have riders. If you've heard that term used in Washington, you have a foreign aid bill going, money going to Ethiopia. And in that bill, you have $630,000 for sewers in Des Moines, Iowa. So how did that get in there? Somebody from Iowa stuck it on.
Yeah.
It's a rider. You can't have that in Missouri. You have to stick with the subject of the bill. The argument here, it was an insurance bill. Midwifery was attached to that, legalizing midwifery in Missouri. And the question is not over the merits of midwifery. The question is whether it's a violation of Hammerschmidt.
Ah.
Was it attached illegally? And that's what the Supreme Court is going to have to decide.
So Hammerschmidt, unique to Missouri, totally?
I'm sure other states have similar rules, but Hammerschmidt, it comes from a case involving somebody named Hammerschmidt, as you could imagine.
And thus the name.
This is where
could
the
have
name
been two
comes
people,
about.
Mr. Hammer, Mrs. Schmidt. You never
yes,
know.
It could have been.
Absolutely.
And then they
could
have said,
it
no,
could
we
be.
Can't
yes,
have that.
It was.
McCain Feingold. Hammerschmidt. It could
Hammer
have been
and
two.
Schmidt. Mr. Hammer, Mr. Schmidt, would you please meet up? So this is the whole thing. They had the it was passed last year, HB, House Bill 818 of 2007. It was passed. It was challenged by the Missouri Medical Association, the doctors. They don't like it. They want it. They say, well, they never liked the bill to begin with. They don't want midwives. Well, the argument is they don't want them infringing on their territory. They will tell you it's a safety reason, so you can decide what you want, of course. But I'm just giving both sides of the argument. And what we have in court right now, we're waiting for the Supreme Court judges to rule on, is whether, not the merits of midwifery, which is a great word to say, but whether there is a violation of Hammerschmidt.
Aha.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I try.
It has nothing to do with midwifery, almost. But it does.
The underlying issue is midwifery.
You know, that brings up a point, though. And seriously, a lot of times things before the Supreme Court, especially in the courts, have nothing to do with the merits of the issue.
Exactly.
They have to do with technicality. Did they follow the rules? Did it align with what has to happen to make something constitutional or non-constitutional? It's nothing to do with the merits whatsoever. And what was before the Supreme Court, which Steve was explaining, was not midwifery. It was, should the midwifery provision be on this bill? And if the court rules, they won't be ruling that midwifery shouldn't be in Missouri. They'll be ruling whether the legislature followed constitutional rules and putting it. But that happens a lot, and that's sometimes very difficult for us to explain.
It is, because if there had been a standalone bill on midwifery, which there was, but it was filibustered, particularly by Senator Chuck Graham of Columbia, if there had been a standalone bill that passed, there'd be no argument. There's no problem that it can be. It's legal, I think, in 40 states. So certified midwifery is not really. The argument is it's not a health issue. It's something beyond that. And you can determine on your own what the reason is. But nonetheless, as Brent has pointed out, it's the technicality here. Is there a violation? Have they attached it where they shouldn't have attached it? Have they dotted the I and crossed the T in the wrong place? Not the issue of midwifery.
Kind of sneaking in
basically,
a provision
right.
in something where it shouldn't have been.
Well, and that it would take longer to explain it, but that whole slipping it in was
an incredible
firestorm over at the
Capitol.
Something
called a legislative tuck, which we can get into another time.
but it was put in without a lot of people really realizing it was in there, and that created its own controversy. But now, when the Supreme Court rules, it will rule whether the legislature violated, as Steve said, the Hammerschmidt rule.
And that's
or
all
not.
It will rule on.
Which really, probably nobody else in Missouri knows or just like you were talking about knows or cares about, but they have to abide by what's called the Hammerschmidt rule, or it gets tossed out.
Absolutely. It makes perfect sense.
I'm just distinct.
It harkens back to this. What did we talk about?
I don't believe you when you said that.
No, it does. It makes if you introduce a bill and you call it the everybody should eat ice cream on Sunday bill, and inside that bill there just happens to be I don't know.
Something about
that has nothing to do with ice cream.
Just
on
use
Sunday.
A very quick
Peter.
Example. There was a case in Cole County. Judge Patricia Joyce recently ruled, and a lot it upset a lot of people. Governor Blunt and a couple of other people. It upset them because she ruled that you can't have a retrospective law. This was a law dealing with sex offenders living within a certain number of feet of schools. Well, the Constitution is clear. You can't enact a law now when the guy was already living there. You can't go back and say, well, he moved there 10 years ago. Yeah, he broke the law. We just passed the law now. No. You can't do that. And, you know, by her ruling that the Constitution forbids this law, she wasn't saying she likes sexual predators.
Right.
She wasn't saying that at all.
And they should all move close to schools.
Exactly. No. And people should read that. It's the law of the Constitution. That's what we live by.
And those technicalities can get frustrating, I'm sure, for – and it's really hard to put into a short – description of what's going on.
Not easy to do.
Let me do this in 30 seconds. It just doesn't work. Okay, Brent
try.
Yeah, it was good. I now know much more about Hammerschmidt and midwifery than
there's a line on this another time.
I would venture to say you never thought you would say Hammerschmidt and midwifery in the same sentence ever in your life.
And I would try to make the I long. I like midwifery. It seems reasonable.
Some do.
Brent, tell us about legislators, disclosures, investments. Again, 45 seconds.
Right. Well, we had a story this week about legislators, both current and former, who have received what we call new generation tax credits. Basically, these are tax credits for such things as ethanol plants. I think that's probably the easiest and the most common that you'll see. The
and
tax
probably
credit,
the highest profile.
Right. Will be ethanol, biodiesel. But there's also some other what we call value-added agriculture. This came up actually in a joint committee on tax policy meeting or hearing that I covered in September. And what happened was during this hearing, they talked about these tax credits and they mentioned the state auditor's office said legislators had availed themselves of these tax credits, but they could not publicly say who the legislators were, because of a 1998 law that did not require legislators to disclose that they had received these new generation tax credits. And there were a couple of Senator Lager and Representative Cooper on the committee were puzzled by that, and they didn't like that, and they're now pushing to require. There's a couple of bills in the legislature pushing to require that anybody who gets a tax, any legislator who gets a tax credit, no matter what it is, agriculture or any, has to disclose it with the Missouri Ethics Committee and its paperwork it files so that it's publicly disclosed. Well, during all of this, we did not know who the legislators were who had availed themselves of these tax credits. And while the 1998 law pertained to legislators, the Department of Agriculture was subject to a Sunshine law request, and the Department of Agriculture released the names. And so for the first time, we had the names. There were seven legislators and one spouse of a current legislator who have used the tax credits. And there were several former legislators who'd used the tax credits. So in some ways, it's one of those stories that I think it is important. I'm not sure whether it is or has the same impact out there among the public as it does to somebody like me who's been with this, going after this story since September.
Right.
But the Department of Agriculture released it. We talked to three of the eight. The legislators said they didn't have a problem with disclosing it. They were worried, though, that people were trying to say legislators can't avail themselves of these tax credits. And they once again say, hey, I'm a farmer. It's a part-time, being a Missouri legislator is supposed to be a part-time job, even though it really isn't. But they said they just don't want to see anybody move to ban legislators from investing in this. So it was a story that we put out. We did a lot of work on it. There'll be more on it. We were able to, even on the website, put a complete chart
So you can see who's getting advantage of these.
You can see when the tax credits were issued, how much they were.
Yeah, I was going to tread lightly.
And what project they went to. So that was a big story, and that's one that just for purposes of this, Darren, just to kind of tell people, you know, there are some stories we work on for months.
Right.
And, you know, we try to keep at these and find it out, and the Department of Agriculture, had actually released it a little bit earlier. I had been a little bit slow on getting to it, kind of got distracted from some other things, but those numbers are out there, and the public can decide for themselves the merit of whether legislators should be doing this or not. But, you know, it's not
good to have the openness.
Right.
You know, the fact that it's out there now, so you can take a look, and maybe you don't care. But at least if you do care, you can say, gee, this guy's making so many $1,000s on this, I want to know about it.
Right.
So and that was one of the big stories that we did and from months back.
Is there more information on the MissouriNet website? Or?
Yes, there is. There's quite a bit. I did a couple of stories this week on it and initially did a story on, and they're both on the website, did a story on the bill that would require legislators to disclose this on their personal financial disclosure statements filed with the Missouri Ethics Committee. Then I did a follow-up story that had a list of all of the legislators, both past and present, and their spouses or any family members.
There's family members, too,
right.
Isn't
yes.
there?
Yes, dependent children, spouses, and that sort of thing.
Right.
And it has a list of all of them, and we were able to talk with three of the current legislators who do have benefited from this tax program and have their comments on there as well.
Now, is it both sides of the aisle? Is anybody...
No, it's both sides.
Okay.
And both
is anybody accusing...
New generation tech... No, nobody's accusing them of
just
a conflict of interest or
it's
this.
There's nothing illegal about it.
It's
right.
Just,
there was a tax credit. They were a legislator, and they received the tax credit.
And I think the real story was that it had not been disclosed until now.
Okay.
And now it's out there, and you know people can judge for themselves. The new generation tax credits from the Department of Agriculture, you have to be a farmer to get those tax credits.
Right.
So there's only so many legislators who can qualify for it.
But must you be a practical farmer?
Yeah, well,
this is a hobby farmer.
That's a whole nother thing.
That really is.
All right, well, guys, that wraps it up. For Brent Martin, Steve Walsh, I'm Darren Jobe. Thanks for your time. Have a great day.